Hey, good morning. Good news. It's today again, and it's another day. Not just another day, guys. It's May the 5th. In the year of our Lord, 2026, it's Cinco de Mayo. It is the taco. It is the queen Taco Tuesday of all Taco Tuesdays. It's when the 5th of May is celebrated on a Tuesday. And we're going to be in Savannah, Georgia, in fact, today and tomorrow. And I'm going to put some notes down in the PS that tell you exactly where we are if you're in the area and you can join us. We'll be at a church tonight and a church tomorrow night. And, but I'm not going to preach the announcements. We're going to dive right in. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just want to remind you that though we pray that prayer in the morning, there are days I've had lately where I felt like by like 11 a.m., I gotta pray it again. I gotta refresh my consecration because I just get pulled off my game. Does that ever happen to you? Just kind of get a little sideways energy going, get a sort of funky thought in my mind, a little bit of a brain fog, and I start telling myself the wrong story. And I just got to come back and say, Jesus, I belong to you. And it's amazing how he just, it's just almost like he just grabs my face and just resets me. It's like, oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Let's get back on that story. Well, today's entry is entitled, So What Are You Really Angry About? Yeah, this can be a fun one. Our text is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. Hear now the word of the Lord. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. It's the word of the Lord. Now consider this. Our conflict compromises the mission of Jesus. Do you believe this? Isn't this at a minimum why Paul would urge us to put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you? The effectiveness of our mission to the world is in direct proportion to the quality of our relationships with each other. Isn't this what Jesus meant when he prayed for us? Quote, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us. Listen, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. That's John 17:21. Isn't Jesus saying they will see God in our relationships, or not at all? We can contend for the divinity and the uniqueness and the unconditional love of Jesus all we want. But if our relationships are characterized by bitterness, wrath, anger, slander, and malice, our arguments will fall flat. Our conflict compromises the mission of Jesus. Is this not why forgiveness figures so prominently in the gospel? Jesus or no Jesus, conflict is a given. The problem for Christians is the way we tend to see forgiveness as optional. Pushing further, we see it as optional to the extent that we see it as conditional on some prior response from the person who has hurt us. You see the problem in that way of thinking? Paul said, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Jesus does not forgive us because we confess and repent. We confess and repent because he has forgiven us. That's huge, guys. Jesus died for us, as Scripture says, while we were yet sinners. It's Romans 5:8. Now, to be clear, Jesus' forgiveness of me and my receipt and appropriation of his forgiveness are two separate things. You see, my forgiving you means I no longer hold your trespass against you. It says nothing about you and everything about me. When I hold on to your trespasses against me, it actually serves to hold me down. In fact, whenever I withhold forgiveness from you, God's forgiveness is withheld from me. I recognize this last statement offends our notion of grace being unconditional, but there is no reference to Jesus stuttering when he said, and I quote, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." That's Matthew 6, 14 and 15. So is Jesus saying that if I withhold forgiveness from another person, my soul is in danger of hell? I don't think so. I think he's saying my refusal to grant forgiveness blocks my ability to receive forgiveness. My refusal to forgive reveals nothing about the person I am not forgiving and everything about me. It reveals my bitterness, wrath, anger, wrangling, slander, and malice. This is why Paul tells us to put it away. Now, here's the really interesting part to me. If we are honest with each other, and I know we try to be, we will have to admit that at least half the time, what is making us bitter and angry is not what we are bitter and angry about. In other words, it's the bitterness in me that I brought to the conflict at hand that keeps me from forgiving you for whatever it is that we are at odds about. Sure, maybe I'm genuinely bitter about something you've done to me, but chances are I've been carrying that for years, and my conflict with you is just bringing it forward and adding to it. It's what we in the industry call baggage. And yes, we all carry some. It's part of the old false self Jesus wants us to exchange for the new creation life he is already giving us. So, How do we put away our bitterness and all the other stuff? It begins by asking the Holy Spirit to bring it to our awareness. And then asking questions like, so, John David, what are you really angry about? That's good right there, y'all. That's some truth I just poured out this morning. What am I really mad about? You know, so I'll be going down the road sometimes and people tell me I'm a bad driver, but I can't be that bad. But somebody will come by me and just flip the bird at me. I mean, sometimes it's two hands coming out of the window. And I want to pull up beside them and say, what are you really mad about? Because, again, you get my point. So often, the reason we're mad or the thing we're mad at is not the reason we're mad. It's something broken in us much of the time. I remember a song that I learned about this verse. I'm going to try to sing it to you. We're going to sing a hymn in a minute, but I love this song. It goes like this. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Do, do, doodle doo, Ephesians 4:32. I love that. Well, let's pray. Abba, Father, we do thank you for your Son, Jesus, whose grace is unfathomably amazing. Teach us this way of grace, that forgiveness precedes confession, the way confession precedes receiving, and the way receiving precedes cleansing, and the way cleansing precedes wellness and being able to forgive others. Now come, Holy Spirit, and reveal to us what we are really angry about. And show us how that might connect to our own failure to forgive somewhere in our past. We are praying in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all, this is a deep one. This is deep stuff. We're carrying the bag. We're pulling the bags behind us. And that baggage, it usually is related to some kind of unforgiveness in our past. It could be of another person. It could be of a parent. It could be of somebody who's already passed on. But you know what? You can still go there. Forgiveness is something that you have to do in yourself. And you're doing it for the Lord. You're doing it for yourself. You're not really necessarily doing it for them. It can help them. It definitely can help them. But even if they don't know it, that's okay. They don't have to receive it from you. They don't have to hear it from you. Because you know what unforgiveness is? I've said it before. I got to stop because I'm going to go too long. Unforgiveness is just taking a big old drink of poison and expecting it to kill them. And again, you need to understand here what forgiveness actually is. It doesn't mean everything's all hunky-dory and the relationship is healed and everybody's getting along, living happily ever after. That's not what forgiveness means. That's what reconciliation means. That's another thing. That's further down the line. Oftentimes, it doesn't happen. Sometimes it does. Forgiveness is simply deciding, I'm not going to pay you back for what you did to me. I'm going to let Jesus absorb it on the cross. I'm not paying you back. I'm not going to talk about you. I'm not going to shoot the bird back at you, guy in the car in front of me. I'm not going to get other people triangulated against you. I'm not going to try to hurt you in some other way. I'm not even going to go down the pathway of my anger fantasies against you and like how I would tell you off if I ever got the chance. I'm not going to practice that speech anymore. I'm forgiving you. I'm letting it go. I'm canceling the debt. You don't owe me anything anymore. We're done with that. That's what forgiveness is. You don't have to tell them. They don't have to feel it. You can. Probably good if you do, but it's not necessary to forgive somebody. But the problem is we misunderstand it and we don't do it, and therefore we carry the bags. We just drag the bags behind us years and years and years and years. But any minute you can just say, you know what? Those bags are going in the dumpster today. I'm letting it go. I'm stopping all of that. I'm not going to pay you back anymore. Moving on. Whew, journal prompts. Do you identify with this? That what you're mad about is not really what you're really mad about? You get me on that? Number two, how might bitterness or anger in your life point to your own withholding of forgiveness toward others? Guys, journal this out. Write it down. Don't carry this another day. Make progress on this today. And number three, have you thought that someone must confess their wrong to you before you forgive them? I think that's bad teaching. You know, that's called making amends, and making amends is next level. That's how you rebuild a relationship, but they don't got to make amends for you to forgive them. This really is much more between you and the Lord than it is between you and them at the level of forgiveness. All right, there's going to be a lot of thinking on this one a lot today, a lot of praying. There might be some pushback. That's okay. I welcome it. We're trying to get down to the truth here, and this is core. I'm going to get Dad over here, and we're going to sing a song today, and we'll just pause for that now. All right, everybody, we've got our favorite worship leader and singer here today.
Amen.
It is David Walt, John David Walt Sr. And Dad, people sometimes ask me, how old is your dad?
My dad?
You.
Oh, me. Let's see. I am, I was born in 1940.
He was born in 1940. You can do the math. It's 2026. So this year in November, you will be 86.
86.
Yeah, you're 85 right now. We're not going to rush that.
No.
We're ready to sing here, gang. And Dad, in the wake-up call, I talked about anger, and I talked about oftentimes when people get mad at somebody, and you're like, why are you so mad? I'm like, well, they're not mad because of that. It's something, they were already mad.
Right, they came mad.
They came mad. And this is a song we're going to sing. Tell them what it is.
Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
What's the number?
It's 343.
Sometimes, all the time, really. This, have thine own way. It says, thou art the potter.
I am the clay.
I am the clay. We just need to say, Lord, I'm back up on the wheel. You got to reshape me. You've got to reform this pot because it's gotten cracked and brittle and hard, and anger will do that. And so put some water on it and reshape it. Let's get going again. And this is a prayer we're singing to him. Have your way in me. We're going to sing 1, 3, and 4. You ready?
I'm ready.
Sing into the mic now.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Number three.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine.
That's verse.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being, absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit, till all shall be Christ only always living in me. Amen.
That's good right there. You know, that whole touch me and heal me. Do you know why people struggle a lot of times with anger? They're angry because somewhere in their life, a lot of times growing up, somebody was angry at them.
Mm-hmm.
Anger is a bully.
And it's hard to forget.
Anger, it breaks people.
It does.
And the reason why they were angry is because somebody in their past was angry at them. It's a cycle.
Yeah.
And you know who breaks that cycle?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus can break the cycle. But it's like you got to get back up on the potter's wheel. This is part of what it means when we talk about being broken by God. He has to break the old pot and kind of start over.
Right.
Get that clay wet again.
Mm-hmm.
And heal us. Because what's been, you know, broken people break people. But healed people heal people.
Amen.
Jesus is the healer. He says, touch me and heal me. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me. Mm-hmm. Anger is a wound, and it needs to be healed. And he can do it today.
You need to get rid of it.
He can do it today. Just say, Jesus, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to renounce my anger. I'm going to receive your peace. He's not mad. A lot of people think God's mad. You know why they think he's mad? Because their parents maybe were mad at them.
Yeah.
He's not mad. God's not mad. Well,
God is on our side.
Amen.
Just never,
right.
Never forget that. God is on our side.
He's for us.
Yeah.
Not against us.
Amen.
He wants to help us. He wants to heal us. He wants to witness to his goodness through us. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. All right, tonight we're going to be in Savannah, Georgia. We're going to be at Good Shepherd Church. We got 3 appointments this week. We had one last night. Good Shepherd Church in Savannah, 6 p.m. We're having a Taco Tuesday Cinco de Mayo party. And then I'm going to step up. We're going to sing some songs and tell some stories and read some scripture. It's going to be good. But come on at 6. If you can't get there at 6, just be late. We'll probably get started at 6:30 with other things. And then on Wednesday night, we're going to be at Skidaway, Skidaway, Skidaway Methodist Church. And that's going to start around 5:45.
In what town?
It's in Savannah, Georgia.
Oh.
Tonight.
I see.
5:45, we're going to do the same thing. So love to see you there. Now, in the meantime, we got today to sow love. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
And I'm David Walt.
We'll see you
on the field.